Herbs have been used by people since the dawn of time. When Rockefeller introduced allopathic medicine, many herbal remedies fell by the wayside as people put their faith in prescription pills and the world just gets sicker. Here at Heathen Herbs, we look to the past and to nature for answers. We offer tinctures, magnesium skin cream, lip balm, tooth powder, colloidal silver throat spray, and more. Check us out at heathenherbs.com.
In the early 1900s, certain companies were off-gassing highly toxic fluoride gases into the atmosphere. The surrounding communities began to get sick. Laws were enacted to compel these corporations to install scrubbers to convert these gases into fluorosilicic acid, still highly toxic, but containable. Now these companies had a stockpile of this poison, and there was no affordable way to dispose of it. Lucky for them, one of their major stockholders was also the Secretary of the Treasury, who was responsible for the Public Health Service at the time. And by 1950, the U.S. government began buying this toxic, untreated industrial waste product and dumping it into our drinking water. Reputable studies show that it's causing various cancers and other disease. With the Alexa Pure Pro, you can have clean drinking water and a remedy to this madness. Available now at InfoWarsStore.com.
Katie Armour raised the standard. Finally, AR-500 steel core body armor that comfortably conforms to the chest and torso. Unique design distributes weight, feeling lighter, increases mobility, and lessens fatigue. Introducing the Combat Quad Bend CQB, a revolutionary plate-forming process that caters to the end user. The CQB is an industry game changer, a must-have for the ladies. Available now, only at katiearmour.com, C-A-T-I-armour.com. Come and take it.
You've made a serious investment in protecting yourself and your family. You've purchased the gun, the ammunition, the training, and even secured a license to carry in your state. You know the Constitution and don't believe you should have to pay for a right that you already have, as written in the Second Amendment, but you are law-abiding. Now you are considering the legal defense options you should have if you ever have to use a firearm. Self-Defense Fund is a comprehensive litigation membership backing you on appeals, legal expenses, court costs, and more. Up to $1 million per incident and unlimited attorney costs per member. Discover selfdefensefund.com for yourself. Any weapon, any state, any time.
Rampant hacking, identity theft, mass surveillance. Defending yourself today is not an option. It's a requirement. Introducing the Conceal Shield Travel Pack from DefenderShield.com. Conceal Shield is cutting-edge wireless blocking technology that eliminates all signals, including EMF, GPS, and RFID. Place cell phones, credit cards, IDs, and other trackable items into the Conceal Shield, and they become totally invisible. Get Conceal Shield now at DefenderShield.com. Use promo code CONCEAL for 10% off. Guard your privacy, secure your data, and protect your health with Conceal Shield.
Are you prepared to bug out? Infidel Body Armor and an Army Ranger have produced a high-speed DVD and book to show you how to drive in combat, patrol, and how to survive in combat. Skills you'll need when it hits the fan. Go to DrivenDVD.com. DrivenDVD.com.
You're listening to Resolution Radio. ResolutionRDO.com.
Welcome to the Fireman Trainers Podcast, Season 6. Episode 6, part of the ConcealedCarry.com family network of podcasts. In this episode, we'll be talking to Laura Carno and Quinn Cunningham about Faster Colorado. Sit back and relax for this week's episode. This episode is also brought to you by our friends at the FTA, Firearms Trainers Association. Visit their website at FTAProtect.com to learn more about their instructor coverage they offer and their competitive pricing. As a certified instructor, you can become an FTA member. And for listening to this podcast, you can get 10% off on your policy by entering promo code FTP10 at checkout. This episode is brought to you by the LASR Classic Trainer. I use the LASR Classic system in my classroom because it allows me to teach first-time gun owners proper sight alignment, proper drawing from a holster, and trigger control without stepping on the range, saving me time and the student money by not firing rounds downrange. When the student is ready, they know what to do because of the classroom training. LASR Classic is easy to set up and tear down because all you need is a laptop with a webcam to use it. That allows you to set up anywhere you can take your laptop. The application also works with any laser device, from laser cartridges you put in your firearm to dedicated laser trainers. LASR is veteran-owned and operated. Find out more information at lasrapp.com and receive a special 10% discount by using discount code FTP10 at checkout. We bring this podcast support the industry, the Second Amendment, and most importantly, every firearm instructor in America that dedicates time and energy into making gun owners more knowledgeable. Today, we're joined by two people from Faster Colorado, Laura, who is the executive director, and Quinn, who is the lead instructor. Welcome, Quinn and Laura, and thank you for spending time with our listeners tonight.
Thanks.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah. For those who aren't familiar with Faster Colorado, and especially with Laura and Quinn, can you start us off and tell us a little bit about what you do for Faster Colorado?
Sure. So Faster Colorado is a training program for armed school security teams. And your listeners are probably familiar with Faster Saves Lives in Ohio. I went out there in 2016, saw what they were doing. We had our first class here in 2017. And we've been at it. This is our seventh training year. We're in about 45 school districts in Colorado. And we've had, at the end of this year, we'll have about 350 people who've gone through our program. So when schools authorize armed staff in their district, and that's how it's done here in Colorado, the school district has to authorize it. They need to get training. And before Faster, they were getting some training somewhere. And what we brought them is some world-class training, and we continue to hear from students that they've never had any training like this. So we're really proud of what we're putting out there.
That's great. Quinn, what's your background?
Well, I'm the lead instructor for Faster. I am in charge of the instructors, course development, lesson plan development, things like that. I'm 28 years law enforcement, just retired from the SWAT team after 22 years. I've been an instructor for about 20 years now, and I like to do a lot of competitive shooting.
So you're a good shooter. That's good. Plus, you know the tactics. Those are very good combinations for a school safety program such as this. Well, Laura, I'll throw the first question out to you. You were talking about school safety in Colorado, but how do you go about raising awareness of what you're doing, what you're offering to the teachers that are in Colorado?
Yeah, so the first year was challenging because back in 2017, very few school districts in Colorado were talking about it. Although the policy is about 20 years old, schools were very, very quiet back then. So all I was trying to do was offer one class for our first year, get some people at the class so that the folks from Faster Saves Lives in Ohio could come out here, bless us, and say we can use the Faster name and move forward. And I couldn't find any people to come to this first class. So what I ended up doing, because you know I'm not going to call up a school and say, hey, do you have armed staff? Because nobody is going to talk to a stranger and answer that question. So I ended up calling sheriffs in a lot of the rural counties that we'd kind of heard that there were armed staff programs in these counties. And I just told these sheriffs, I'm not asking if it's happening in your jurisdiction, but if it is, I have free training. I was giving away free training that first year. So we ended up having, I think it was 17 or 18 students in that first class. And what's interesting, you know, now that we're up to level four, we've, you know, added some increasing levels of difficulty. Our first level four class, we had a number of students in that class who were with us our very first year, and you know, including one young lady who it was her first year teaching that year. And fast forward 7 years, she was hands down the best person in level four, still a very young woman, obviously. But we looked at each other and went, man, we created something here that has really made a difference in Colorado. So the word gets out mostly by word of mouth in these schools. But also Quinn and I do media, especially when there are these school shootings. We're kind of looked to you know, offer some sense of like, what are the solutions, you know, with like Coventry Christian. The nation is in mourning. What are some solutions? So it gives us an opportunity to talk about that. And that, you know, certainly drives interest our way.
Mm-hmm. Definitely, because you know, every time there's a school shooting, unfortunately, it becomes very politicized. And there are very few calm voices out there talking about, rational solutions to, to what can be done, because, one of the things, I always point out, how much money do we put into protecting our banks, and, and how much do we put in the same, do we put the same amount into protecting our schools? Same thing, right. When it comes to fire drills, it's been since the 1950s, since anybody has died in a school fire in the United States. And that's because all the fire codes that have been implemented since. And because people said, if we got a problem with a fire, we got to find a solution to it. It's not just as simple as going long and outlawing matches or something else like that. You got to find an effective way of fighting the fire and slowing it down so that people can make it out safely. And we've been successful as a country. We just have to be a little bit more pragmatic about it when it comes to how to deal with the active shooters and, in the aftermath.
Somebody mentioned to me being at a department store, and there was an armed guard in the lingerie department. And he said, "I just thought of you. Why is the lingerie department better protected than our schools?" I was like, "Yeah, I mean that's a really legitimate point."
Mm-hmm. You imagine if we protected our kids like we protected our money or our lingerie, what this world would be like.
It puts things in a whole different picture, doesn't it? When you look at it that way. And the thing about it is, I think, the FASTER program bringing this to light in big, bright lights in my mind is they're not going along and forcing somebody to do something they don't want to do. They're taking the people, the janitors, the teachers, the school administrators that are there to help the kids, that are there willing to do whatever they have to do in order to keep them safe and give them the tools in order for them to keep them safe. And, sometimes that's as simple as first aid of, taking care of the boo-boos on the playgrounds. And other times it's more, force and knowing how to run, a firearm properly, whether that's a handgun or whether that's a rifle type of thing. And that's where you don't want to think about that, but programs like FASTER give those people the information they need in order to effectively respond to a threat.
Yeah. And Quinn, I'm wondering if we just had a class this last weekend and had two unnamed students who were very, very, very good coming into level one. Can you just, Quinn, talk about, I'm sorry to ask a question here, but I think it's relevant to what you were talking about, taking over your podcast. But these, they were exceptional in coming in at such a high skill level in level one. And can you just, Quinn, talk about that for a second? Like, we were like, wow, these are two really high level shooters.
Yes, very quiet, very humble during introductions. This is my name. This is the school I'm associated with and my position, and went through all of the introductions. And at the very end, when the instructor says, who served in the military, and these two guys raise their hands, and I'm like, okay, all right. And then they come out and they are just drilling it, and they're accurate and they're fast. And given where they were from, we're pretty sure that they were a special operations community and came over once they needed a new mission. And so they decided to help out at the schools. And those guys can come to my gunfight anytime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and that's where they not only bring the firearms, they bring a lot of other skills too, which, one of the things when I went through the FASTER program here in Ohio, they just don't teach you how to shoot fast and accurate. They teach you how to, deal with the aftermath, from a first aid perspective and stuff like that. And that's one of those things to where in a lot of cases, you're going to use the first aid probably more so than your firearm skills, during your lifetime, hopefully. And those are things where it keeps the program very balanced, I think, to keep that in mind. Because sometimes you need a hammer, sometimes you need a napkin to, dry up the tears.
I think more important than any of that is the mindset aspect. And we start our level one class with mindset. It's a 2-hour block. Trying to just put people in the right frame of mind. And it's graphic, and I get loud and I'm yelling, and I'd say, 30 to 40% of the people are wiping away tears when I kind of get to the climax of the class, because of it's so important. The mind is the weapon. All else is supplemental. And if your mind isn't tuned, isn't honed, isn't trained, which is something we don't typically do, we're all of us are guilty of that, from law enforcement all the way to the concealed carry community. We don't train enough mindset. And if you can train that, all else is supplemental.
Yeah. How many of us look at classes or put as instructors put on classes that are 300-400 rounds in a single day, because people like to get out there on the range and shoot and move and, shoot from various positions. But at the same time, what do we do to program their mind so that they're ready to look down, their sights on their guns and be able to make the proper decision at the proper time, or know when to draw their gun, because those are all skills that are just as valuable as knowing when to, or how to go along and, hit that center ring on the target.
An instructor is not only an instructor, they're a presenter, they're a coach, they're a mentor, they're a leader. And if you're not rubbing some of your students the wrong way and getting them out of their comfort zones, you're not doing them any justice. Yeah, it's cool. I did some different positions. I shot 300 rounds. I'm shooting splits at a 19, an 18, a 17, but you are doing them a disservice if you are not making them think and not sometimes agitating them a little bit to pushing them, pulling them, clawing them out of their comfort zone.
Mm-hmm. Yep. One of the things that I've in my classes or my advanced classes, I've been adding force on force, which really goes along and brings things to light, because unless you are military, unless you are law enforcement, you probably, for the average civilian, never have a gun pointed at you. And right. To go along and actually do force on force to where even an airsoft has a certain pain factor to them. And it makes you realize why we as instructors teach certain things at certain times to make sure that, you can survive. But sometimes, as I go along, 85% of what people think they know about guns comes from Hollywood. So why can't I do a John Wick and make my bullet go around corners, right, and everything else like that? Because it doesn't work like that. I don't care who you are. They just don't go. They don't do what they try to make you think they do in movies.
You're not supposed to shoot the gun out of their hand, apparently.
Yeah.
Like we've learned in Hollywood.
Yeah, exactly.
The scenario-based training, it does put you in a level of stress that most of these people haven't really encountered. And so they feel those sympathetic reactions to the stress on their very first airsoft, gunfight, where they're having all of those reactions, the tunnel vision, the fine millimeter skills, and all of that stuff too. So those, it's very important to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's one of those factors where, for listeners, I will be doing a podcast in the near future on force on force to give people ideas on how to set things up. But I also recommend taking a class specifically on force on force, so you understand it, but not just listen to a 30-minute podcast about it. Question for you, Quinn, what all includes in the curriculum that you teach with Faster Colorado?
So we have the four levels of classes. We are starting the development on the fifth level. Level one is a 3-day class, and the course length is pretty much dictated by the insurance companies that these schools have. And Laura can talk more if you want to know about insurance. It's 24 hours for the level one class. Sometimes it's goes to 28, 26, because we have certain performance objectives that we have to hit. Like I said, we start with mindset. That's about a 2-hour class. We talk about tactical casualty care. We do the use of force laws in Colorado, and then we hit the range, shoot for a little bit. Go and do some more practical stuff with the tourniquets and the wound packing, shoot for a little bit. They qualify at the Colorado Post standard, which is 25 rounds. However, we add two rounds, making it 27, and they need to get 100% on that target. So it's 27 out of 27 rounds to qualify. Once we're done with that, we go into the force on force. And luckily, utilizing the law enforcement facilities that we have access to, we have shoot houses available to us, and we have simulators available to us. So half the group will go to the simulator. Half the group will go to the force on force, either force on target, force on force, et cetera. And then they'll switch. So everybody's getting the simulator and some force on force, force on target training at the end. Mm-hmm. Level two is all shooting. And level two, I've taken one of the classes that I designed when I started, after I've been doing some competition shooting a little bit, and taking some of the speed and accuracy stuff and taking it to a higher level. That's a 2-day class. They also have to qual during that class. It's still the same qual, 27 out of 27 with 100% required on the silhouette. Level three and four are kind of the same. Just the standards of accuracy, a little bit more team tactics the later on we get in the programs. But those classes start on the range. We typically do the qual first, and if they don't qual, then we actually ask them to leave, and they have to go to go back to level two. And then the force on force on the second day is actually in one of the schools. So we get a school. Obviously, we have a whole bunch of schools available to us. So we get schools. We go in there on the weekends, and we start with developing safety plans. We do some tabletops, and then it's force on force, force on target after that.
I'm going to ask this. I'm pretty sure I know the answer to it. But why do you require 100% on your target?
Well, the insurance companies actually said that we have to go by Colorado Post standards, which is 25 out of 25 for the baby cops leaving the academy. They have to score 100%, and they have to everything on the target, obviously, in certain time frames. So we've pretty much just followed along with the Colorado Post standard was, but we wanted to make it a little bit different and a little bit harder. So we added those two rounds.
Okay. And I think that's really good because in Ohio, you've only got to hit 80% for our law enforcement qualification. And I'm not big fan of that, because if you're shooting in a crowded situation, you want to make sure 100% of your rounds are hitting your intended target, not, you know, somebody behind them, not, you know, going off the wall or anything else like that for it. So it's that's good. I'm glad to hear their post requirements are a little bit higher than some of the other states.
You know, and there's the expectation for the school staff. The expectation is that they handle the problem and take care of it with no collateral damage. And when you look at law enforcement shootings, they're pretty poor as far as their accuracy rating. And it's kind of one of those things like, well, you know, cops really can't shoot. And so they're at like 17, 20, 25%, depending on where they're at. Well, with one of our staffers getting into some type of gunfight or some type of shooting, there's no margin for error. And the expectation is they take care of the problem. So they can't say I haven't been able to dry fire. They can't say I haven't been able to train. So I do like the 100% standard. It is totally doable with the right training, the right repetitions, and the right program.
Mm-hmm. And it's also part of what helps the community to feel a sense of confidence with what we're doing. So, you know, if somebody who has no idea about the policy, they don't own firearms, and they hear about people, employees being armed in schools, they might not know anything else beyond that. But once they hear that our instructors are active duty law enforcement instructors, once they hear that we're training in the same facilities that cops train in to go through their academy and do their in-service training, once they hear it's the same test, we actually make it a little harder. I mean, we do those things on purpose because we want the community, the parents who have their children in schools that have armed security teams, we want them to know that we have put all of that extra thought into it to make sure that it's the best possible training they could be getting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's one of the things that's, I think, is really good. but with Faster Saves Lives as well as Faster Colorado is just the confidence and the way you go about it. It's not just, you know, somebody carrying a gun and doing something. It's you're taking them to a higher level of competency with those firearms, and even in a lot of cases law enforcement. Now, you can always point to, you know, a SWAT team or something else like that's got higher competency to it, but at the same time, the average police officer, the armed staff has a higher competency firearm wise than even the average law enforcement officer. So that's a great requirement and great level of training to really set the bar high for those students. Question for you when it comes to the laws in Colorado. Can you go over a little bit about what that is? I know you talked about before to where the school boards have got to authorize it, but is there more to it than just the school board authorizing it?
Sure. So this law has been in Colorado for about 20 years, and it would be better if it was easier and if it was universal, but this is what we have here in Colorado, very similar to what goes on in, you know, 30 plus other states across the country, that there's some sort of local decision making. So here in Colorado, it's either the school board or the charter school board. So we have charter schools within school districts. So if there is a school district that says no way, but a charter school sitting in that geography says, yes, we want to do it, the charter schools can make that decision. So consequently, we have about 60% traditional districts that have come through our training, 40% charter schools in more suburban districts. So the district has to agree to the policy, pass some resolutions. There's some legal things they have to do. But that's not it. That doesn't mean, okay, everybody carries. That means they seek volunteers, as you mentioned earlier. They go through a vetting process. And what we've noticed in the last 7 years is the vetting processes have gotten much more rigorous from, you know, panel interviews that include members of local law enforcement or including a board member who's opposed to the policy, or like all kinds of very rigorous vetting processes. And then there's pretty strict policies and procedures in all of these schools. And, you know, the schools that are armed have become sort of this community, even though they're spread out all over the state, where they help each other with, you know, can I see your policies and procedures? And we have some retired superintendents on our team at Faster that are also helping with that. But so that nobody has to reinvent a wheel, they're kind of plugged into a community that's already doing that. Why start your own policies and procedures from scratch? But what we see very consistently is this is all concealed carry, by the way. I'm sure that was obvious, but I just want to say that. A common policy we see is if anybody ever sees your firearm, you are off the team, flat out. So there's some very stringent requirements to get on the team and to stay on the team. And then, you know, the training that we've been talking about, that's their annual training. We do their annual required training with the post qualification, so that they, you know, their insurance company can check that requirement box. But most school boards are also saying weekly, you need to dry fire. Quarterly, you need to have law enforcement in your facility doing drills with you. Monthly, you need to have your team at the range. They are adding not just, you know, do your annual training qual, but and all of these other things. So we've been very impressed with how seriously school boards have taken this and how much that's increased over the last 7 years that we've been paying attention to it.
What would you say is the percentage of volunteers that come through that have never used a firearm before?
It's pretty low. When a school goes down this road, they look for volunteers. Occasionally somebody will say, I've always wanted to, maybe this is the you know, my opportunity. But mostly it's the people who they're concealed carry holders outside of school. They're disarmed when they come onto campus. And they've been concealed carry holders from, you know, years to decades. occasionally we get somebody who doesn't have a concealed carry permit, but they've been constitutional carrying forever. They have to go through some processes, obviously. But I'm thinking of like a couple of people over the years who have the right mindset, grew up in a gun family, and then they went and got training before they came to level one, because it's not a beginner class by any stretch.
Yeah, that's really good that you've got gun owners that are stepping up, and even a few newbies that are willing to step up to do those types of things. Really shows their dedication to the program. For what do you do in order to cover the cost of the program?
Yeah, so most schools, after they've been in, have had an armed security team for a number of years, they start building that into their budget. But we do raise money for those early years. They make a decision to have an armed team, but they budgeted this year for this year. Last year, they don't have the money. So so we raise private money from random individuals. We have a raffle going right now, open to Colorado residents only. And then we have some great sponsors. Quinn, do you want to talk about our chief sponsor?
Sure. One of our, I guess the title sponsor would be Shadow Systems, a fire manufacturer out of Plano, Texas. They have been great with giving us all the support. In fact, they actually called us after Uvalde and said, what more can we do? And so we've been talking to them on what they can do as a company, but they're giving us guns to raffle. They're giving us t-shirts to hand out, swag to give to all the students, the shooters in the classes. And so it's been a great relationship with them.
Yeah. And these raffles, for Shadow Systems to donate a pistol, and Quinn, some of these have been pistols that are hard to get at your gun store, right? But we have them in the raffle. And so, if you look at a $700 gun, we might be able to raise $7,000 off of that. So they really in donating those guns have allowed us to really multiply those donations. So, and that just helps us with, these little bitty rural schools that have, 100 kids K through 12 in one building. They're never going to have enough per pupil money to afford a security guard or a school resource officer. Armed staff is their only choice. So it helps us to get those folks in for, get their folks in for the first year, sometimes into the second year, so that they don't have to forego this great training and have, potentially undertrained people armed on campus. So our sponsors have been just tremendous. You might know Sean Maloney in Ohio. He has the American Freedom Liberty Foundation, and we were able to apply for a grant there as well. So we've had just some fantastic people come forward to say how can we help. And this year after Coventry Christian, we had a 4 times higher spike than even after Uvalde. And we had to expand instructors, we had to expand ranges. And we're looking at each other like, how the heck are we going to pay for all this? And our sponsors just came forward. The people who sponsor Faster have a heart for this. And we couldn't be, we feel so lucky to have relationships with them.
Mm-hmm. And when you look at what Faster does, every little bit helps, and depends on the school and what they're able to afford. But it's just a great way to give back to keeping our kids a little bit safer for it. We go along and we tell them to put seatbelts on when they get in the car and doing all those kind of things, not because we're expecting an accident, but at the same time, we understand it's not the odds, it's the stake. It's what at stake that why we go along and wear seatbelts and want to make sure we've got trained staff on hand, whether it's first aid or whether it's, a more serious situation from those standpoints. So that's great. Do you guys ever do anybody besides schools in your through your Faster training?
Yeah, so I'll give you a couple examples. We started to dabble into the church security. And it happened because so many of our school security team members are also on their church armed security team. And so they would come back and say, hey, can my church team come too? So our first mission is schools, but as we have an extra lane or two, we absolutely will open that up to school security teams or church security teams, pardon me, as well. The other thing is on occasion, we've heard from just an ordinary Colorado citizen who says, hey, how do I come through this great training? And we say, well, do you have a checkbook? Because we're happy to have people come through if we have an empty lane and they can help us to defray the cost for another student. But we also think that to know faster is to love faster. And I think of a handful of folks who've been through over the years. Again, when we've had an empty lane, we're not going to keep a school person from going through. But these are people who continue to give us, you know, a full scholarship a year or more because they actually came through and feel a part of the program. So, and you know, we look at that and say, okay, that's one more well-trained armed citizen that that is out there and could benefit from the training and understands our program and will speak well of it and continue to support it over the years.
Mm-hmm. It's all those little seeds that you plant and you can harvest, you know, you don't harvest it immediately, but you can harvest down the road when those people see, you know, are able to donate, able to put that into practice and all that. Yeah. Talking about that, do you have any examples about where your students have been able to apply the knowledge that they've gained in your classes to real life events?
Yeah, we had one situation so far, you know, and there's been some medical emergencies where our staffers have responded to, but there was one incident where an individual in a rural area wanted to commit suicide by someone else, and so he thought, well, best place to do it would be at a school, and so he went to the school. He started causing some problems in the parking lot. Our staffers who are some of the greatest people that I've ever met, they did exactly how they were trained, even though it was outside of the school. They locked down the school. They went through the tactics and the procedures and protocols that we taught them for something going on outside, and were able to protect the kids because he was armed and he did have intent on hurting someone, anyone, in order for law enforcement to kill him. Rural area, so law enforcement was about 35 minutes away. So imagine if he started executing children or doing something, how many people would have been hurt by this individual just because he didn't have the fortitude to do it himself. But they were able to locate him, they isolated him, they contained him, and they waited for law enforcement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Laura, you're still on mute.
Without a shot being fired.
without a shot being fired.
And that's good. And, you know, put that in perspective, had Ed Monk on before, and he points out that if your plan for a school shooter is call 911, that you're looking at least double digits fatalities because of even in a metropolitan police department, if they arrive within 2 to 3 minutes, which would be extremely fast, that's also going to be, you know, 4 or 5 minutes after the shooting starts. And that means that they've got that much more time to go along and cause carnage versus somebody who's in the school who can respond very quickly from a room down the hall or in the same room they're in, being able to stop them quickly. And hopefully, just like in the instance you talked about, Quinn, there, if you don't have a shot fired, then that's even a bigger win to be able to take them to seek help and such.
And we had that. Go ahead, Quinn.
If you think about it, if I'm on duty in law enforcement and I'm in the parking lot and I can't hear shots, it's going to take 2 to 3 minutes for me to even get the call. Even with a dispatcher getting off 911, running it to the Channel 1 dispatcher on a note, it's still going to take time for me to get in there. Where our armed staffers, their response time is a 1.5 second draw.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I was just going to say that, you know, we have fairly recent 2019 example here in Colorado at the STEM school shooting. And so many people have never heard of STEM school because it was not a quote unquote mass shooting. It was over very quickly, but Kendrick Castillo, a senior at STEM school, and there were two shooters, by the way, got up, lunged at one of the shooters and pinned him against the wall, taking the fatal shot to his chest. But saving that whole room full of kids, that would have looked like Uvalde if not for Kendrick Castillo. The teacher in that room, Ms. Harper, had a concealed carry permit. If that school had been in our, had passed the policies, maybe we don't know yes or no if she would have been one of the armed staff, but she was the only person who could have saved Kendrick Castillo's life. Law enforcement, how long did it take, Quinn, for, because those were your guys, right, that responded?
Yeah, initially, our guys came from the range, which was about probably about an 8 minute response time. We had a SWAT school going on at the time. The neighboring sheriff's office was a little bit closer. It's actually in their jurisdiction. They're a little closer. They probably got there within 5 minutes with our guys, with a SWAT team showing up in 8 minutes, which has never happens.
Right.
It usually takes SWAT guys, like, you know, they got to shave their arms and gel up their tattoos. It's going to take 45 minutes for them. I can say that because I was on SWAT.
Yeah. Well, one of the things, I don't know how big your schools are, where you are, but I know the high school that my daughter went to had over 3,000 kids in it on a campus that was probably close to 100 acres that had grown as the community had grown. So it's not just one building with one hallway. It was, you know, probably four different hallways at three different elevations and such. And you could imagine, you know, to your point, Quinn, that if something happens in one end of the building and you happen to be at the front door, and you would have to be an Olympic sprinter to, you know, run down this hallway, cut down these steps, go across this breezeway to get down there to get to it within a minute or two. And that would be absolute best case scenario. Or even if you're a responding officer, drive around the school to the door that was the closest one to it. It's one of those realities of if you're going to slow down the shooting, the only way to do that is to have somebody closer by than the where the police officer is coming from. And makes a big difference. Big difference.
Yep, at the point of attack is where it's needed. And you're never going to be at the point of attack unless you have enough concealed carry people in many, many places.
Yep. Janitors, you know, school administrators, things like that. My daughter's school had four principals for all the different grades and such, to just give you an idea how big the place actually was. And that's one of the largest ones in Ohio. And that's where, yeah, there's a lot of them that are smaller, but most of them have similar kind of problems where they have expanded over time and they aren't the easiest to secure at the same time. They're not a modern school to where you can shut off whole hallways and do different things like that. But whole nother topic along those lines for it. Well, hey, Quinn and Laura, this season, I've been asking people simple question. What do you want to be remembered for when you pass away? And I'll pass it to Laura first here.
You know, considering what we do at FASTR, I would like to be known for helping people to save children's lives.
Very good.
Is it my turn?
Did she just take yours, Quinn? So is that why you're stalling?
No. Well, I mean, mine's a little bit more encompassing. You know, I've trained a lot of school staffers. I've trained a lot of law enforcement. So I've been doing academies for quite some time now, and most of the young kids in this area, I've trained in firearms, and young kids being the baby cops. I mean, and I just, you know, if I could be known for one thing, it's that I gave them everything, you know. And as firearms instructors, we think that information is knowledge. We take some of this proprietary, even though it's already been invented. You know, Jeff Cooper invented most of this stuff. Other people, the people who walked before us invented this stuff. And so I never hold anything back from my students. I give them everything I can. And that's what I want to be remembered for, is that when they get into a gunfight, not if, that when, is that they remember my training, and they remember that I'm the one who gave them that training and helped them. And I've got 7 phone calls throughout my career where I owe people steak dinners for winning gunfights. And those are the best phone calls you can ever get in the middle of the night.
Mm-hmm. Amen to that. One of my most favorite podcasts is actually Dave Spalding. And we went back over books that he recommended that every firearm owner read, and concealed carriers, because he recommends to his law enforcement buddies too. And they are literally anywhere from 100 years old to 5 years old, but it goes along, shows you that in a lot of cases, we're not inventing something new. We're just adapting it to a different type of pistol. You know, we're going from the old revolvers, and we're going to, you know, semi-autos, and then we're going from the semi-autos to the micro compacts, but we're applying the same skills, and we're still dealing with the same problems with it. We're just applying different tools to it. So that was very good, Quinn. I like that one. Well, where can people find out more information with what Faster Colorado is doing? And if they want to donate money to it, or potentially take one of your courses, what's your website there?
Yeah, folks can go to fastercolorado.org and they can find out about our courses. They can read bios on our instructors. They can contact us there. And certainly if they'd like to help us financially to offer scholarships, they can click on donate. And, you know, $10 helps. Anything helps. We're just so grateful for the support.
Well, that's super. Well, I appreciate both your time tonight. Great information. Instructors out there, when you're thinking about things, think about, you know, who we're teaching and how we're, you know, reaching out to them, because the people that need the training are the people that need the training. So very good. Well, have a good night.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
That's a wrap for this episode. And I hope you can pass that information on from Faster Colorado to other people in your area that might find it useful for organizing training in self-defense for our schools. Help us get this information out to more instructors by giving us a 5-star rating on your favorite podcast app. If you're searching for information, think about going out to our website at www.firearmtrainerpodcast.com and using the search function. We've got over 200 episodes and rapidly approaching 300 on various topics, and probably subject out there that can help you in your business. If you have questions or suggestions for me, email me at ftp@concealedcarry.com. Visit our sponsors, especially the Firearm Trainer Association, and check out their instructor insurance. Establishing your business and becoming certified were your first steps. Now you need to make sure you have FTF coverage. Remember, use promo code FTP10 for 10% off at checkout. We bring this podcast support in the industry, the Second Amendment, and most importantly, every firearm instructor in America dedicates time, energy, and making gun owners more knowledgeable. Stay safe out there.
Concealed Carry Inc. and ConcealedCarry.com strives to share helpful information and education about gun-related topics, training tips, and other things that may potentially have legal implications for its listeners. The information contained in this podcast is intended in good faith, but it is important to understand that laws vary from place to place, and we encourage listeners to seek local legal advice to understand laws that apply to them. Nothing in this podcast should be misconstrued as legal advice or counsel.
You're listening to Resolution Radio. 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 ResolutionRDO.com.
I meant what I fucking said. And now I got a bunch of people asking me, oh, what are we going to do? What should we do? Educate yourself. Spread the word. The United Nations has just declared war on the truth. They're telling you outright, if you speak up, you're a conspiracy theorist. Shouldn't be believed. Should be approached in a certain fashion. The authority should be contacted and all kinds of neat shit. If they want war, arm yourself with facts. Get out there and start telling the people. You don't want to do it on social media? Do it in person. Do it on the telephone. Do it like we used to do, standing around on the street corner having a coffee. Do you know who your enemy is? The World Economic Forum. 51 years they've been working at this. They've been planning and scheming, working as hard as they can. And now, here we are. Klaus Schwab has admitted that for over 45 years, they've been working directly with the CCP. Now here we are in Canada and the U.S. We got 5G, military-grade 5G technology right across the country. Where did it come from? Who owns that technology? And what's going to happen when they don't like us? Get to know your enemy. Get to know the facts. Speak the fuck up. Be a warrior. That's what we need to do, instead of following Marcus like a bunch of fucking sheep.
Iodine is naturally acquired through the soil, which is at the foundation of our entire food supply. Modern farming techniques have stripped the soil of this essential trace element, which has caused an iodine deficiency in about half the population. And there are two things we need to do about it. We need to practice more regenerative farming. There are plenty of proven technologies in permaculture and biodynamics that will naturally keep the soil rich with iodine. And we need to ensure that we get the sufficient amount of iodine every day. Derived from ancient sea salts found thousands of feet below the Earth's surface, our InfoWars Life Survival Shield X3 is hands down the best. Pure nascent iodine, stabilized in an activated tri-iodine form. For a healthy thyroid and a healthy metabolism, get yours now at InfoWarsStore.com.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Lockit Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. LockitPocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at LockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. LockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology. All while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821 or visit PureFectFilters.com.
Hold on right there, my friend. That's very interesting and giving you a little bit of background on our featured guest for the evening, Stefan Brockes of Arctos Media and Europa Terra Nostra. A little bit of background on who he is and what his story is, and we'll be back with more next.
Hey there, PPC family. This is James Edwards, your host of The Political Cesspool. Folks, I want you to subscribe to the American Free Press, America's last real newspaper. Against all odds, AFP has and continues to publish a populist, independent print newspaper with an unparalleled track record. Founded by a dedicated group of experienced patriots, AFP pulls no punches and tackles the most controversial and pressing issues facing America from an America First perspective. I've worked with the American Free Press since even before the beginning of TPC. Now that's something. You can subscribe to the print edition by visiting AmericanFreePress.net today or simply pick up a handy digital edition subscription. However you do it, subscribe to the American Free Press, America's last real newspaper, by visiting AmericanFreePress.net or by calling 1-888-699-NEWS, AmericanFreePress.net.